Bushun and in the way Maganituk. Beshiko benesia que indigo. Mang indu dem. Ga osisqua jimikak and dunjaba. Ga misqua wa kokak. Elaine Fleming indishin a cause. And so I'm talking about Leech Lake Nation. You know, growing up, it was always referred to as Leech Lake Reservation. And then as I began teaching and I learned about nationhood and history, and I learned that treaties were made between nations, the United States of America, and with indigenous nations, I began to realize and use words differently. And so I quit saying Leech Lake Reservation. And I seldom say Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe or the word Indian. I tend to use words now like Leech Lake Nation and Ojibwe or Anishinaabe or Indigenous American. And I suppose it goes back to teachings that were given to me by Will Sear. And he was a fluent Ojibwe speaker from Canada. He taught at our tribal college a few years ago, and he was really adamant about not using the word Indian when you refer to our people. He said that another elder on Leech Lake said that Columbus is not my creator. And so I think really hard about the words that I use when I'm referring to our people or our peoples. And so I'm talking about Leech Lake Nation. And I know that in historical documents and in history, we were generally referred to as Indians or the Leech Lake Reservation. And I understand that, but I'm just trying to think in a different way, I guess, and believe in our people and our nation in another way as a nation. And I believe in sovereignty, and I'm so grateful for the things that Leech Lake Nation has done in creating its own laws and its own police department, its own courts. It's just really remarkable here on Leech Lake. I'm really grateful for being a member of Leech Lake Nation. And so I've been talking about Star Island. And as I began working at Leech Lake Tribal College, I don't know, probably about 23, 24 years ago. And when I first started working there, I didn't even know how to pronounce the word Manidu. I thought you pronounced it Manido. And I didn't know what Turtle Island meant. I had never heard of our creation story. And so I'm really grateful, too, to be able to have learned and to teach at Leech Lake Tribal College. So I have been able to travel to some islands while I was working for Leech Lake Tribal College, and also just as a mother, I was able to travel to islands that are important to our people. So it was probably about 1994 when I was working for community education at Leech Lake Tribal College, when I arranged for some of our Ojibwe youth to canoe out to Bear Island. And this was a spiritual and a historical journey for them and for me. I was able to go with one of the elders on a motorboat, and we took her out to the island, to Bear Island, which is in the eastern part of Leech Lake. And it was the first time that she had come home to that island. That's where she had grown up, and then they had moved over to Sugar Point when she got older. When we got off that boat, I just remember her, the first thing she saw was a long, long eagle feather, and it was welcoming her home. So I learned a little bit about the history there on that island and on the about the families and why they named it Bear Island. Then it was probably about 1990 when I took a trip out to Star Island, my first trip out to Star Island. And that was as a mother and as a friend. I traveled with Julia Greyhawk and her children. And we went out there and we set up a camp on the south shore of the island. And I remember that night we left our food out on the picnic table and we heard noises that night out there. And it was some little varmint, some little animal who had got into our food supplies and eaten them. And so in the morning when we woke up, we realized about why you hang your food in trees so that the animals can't get them. And I remember Julia Greyhawk, she went into, she canoed back to the Cass Lake area and she got food for us. And then she canoed back, paddled back to the island. And our children, our sons, were on the southwest shore of the island and they found eagle feathers again on that island. And it was like a welcoming home again to that particular island, Star Island. Again, around 2012, as a teacher for the Tribal College, I was able to travel with students to Madeleyn Island in Lake Superior on the north shore of Wisconsin. And that, again, I mean, it brought tears to our eyes to be able to go to Madeleyn Island, because in our prophecies, we were told that we would come to a place where food grew on the water. And that place would be Madeleyn Island, where we would stop and we would set up that Madeleyn Lodge. And we would live there for many years. We would have our gardens and then things would happen and then we would move out into Minnesota and Wisconsin and on to other places. So islands are very important. And two, I know that on Monday of next week, we're going to be taking another trip to Star Island along with our faculty and at the Tribal College, and we'll have an archaeologist with us to tell us about the history of Star Island. So I'm very excited to go again to learn about it. But Star Island, again, it was it's an island comprised of 1,163 acres, and in the middle of it is Lake Windigo. Schoolcraft traveled there in 1832, and he came to a village there in which Ozawandib lived, and Ozawandib is the one who guided Schoolcraft to the headwaters of the Mississippi River, And that old village, which is on the northeastern part of Star Island, is thought to have died out because of smallpox in the 1890s. But as history moved on, in 1909, 1 year after Star Island was included in the new National Forest, the U.S. Bureau of Forestry issued one of the first recreational residence permits in the nation to a Cass Lake man named Frank L. Gorenflow. I remember one of the teachers when I was growing up at Cass Lake Elementary School, Mrs. Gorenflow. Frank L. Gorenflow was issued the first recreational residence permit for a lot on the south shore of the island. Harvesting of trees would not be the only moneymaker for the National Forestry. 3 years later, a summer hotel had been built on the same shore. Within the next 4 years, Minnesotans and people who came from as far away as Kansas and Nebraska rented and built on nearby lots. These summer residents were middle or upper middle class business or professional people, some of them teachers from the University of Minnesota. By 1916, an association known as the Star Island Protective League was formed by the summer residents. They elected Matthias N. Cole as its first president. Cole was also the executive secretary of the Cass Lake Commercial Club. Also found on the island was a ranger's cabin maintained by the Bureau of Forestry for fire precaution, and a girls' camp also opened on the southeast shore during this time. In a recent phone call, I was told by Christine Brown, Lands and Recreation Program Manager for the Chippewa National Forest, that today some of the land of Star Island is privately and state-owned, but most of it, maybe 80%, is managed by the U.S. Forestry. Chippewa National Forest has 40 cabin leases on the island, some over 100 years old. The land was appraised in 2008. Summer residents own the cabins, but the Chippewa National Forest leases the land. Some of the lots go for $2,150 a year, up to $3,150 a year. There are 40 of these leases. Tourism is big business in the Leech Lake area and for the Chippewa National Forest. And again, I'll end the story here about Star Island and the building of a bridge and a road to Star Island. Mi kwech bisandawi yeg, mi kwech, mi you.